Welcome back to the Time Podcast. Today we are joined by Sarah Hoskin. She's a business development manager at Globus in Victoria, and she's looking after Victoria, South East, and Tasmania. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah. And obviously, I'm joined by my dear friend Timo. Welcome, Timo. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Anu. I'm fantastic. And Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today. The
Thanks for
very first
having
question is super easy. Has Arnaud introduced you correctly? Did he finally make a right announcement?
No, he did. It was perfect. I work for the Globus family of brands. That's the only criticism I could possibly make there. But no, it was perfect. It was, he even, didn't actually say my last name correctly. I'm Hoskin, singular, not Hoskins, as people often say, plural. There's just one of me. So no, it was perfect. Thank you, Arnaud.
But that's actually just because the French people never pronounce the last
Exactly, it's always
letters.
silence. Remember that.
Yeah, love it.
Remember that line from Kath and Kim
Sarah, can you
when
maybe?
when Kylie Minogue says to, well, Kath and Kim that in Chardonnay the H is silent, so it should be pronounced Cardonnay. Remember that
Love that this is the way we've started off my interview with you
Well,
both
as a Melbourne girl.
with a Kath and Kim reference.
There you go.
I'm already lost. I'm already lost. But let me try to find a way back into the actual topic. Sarah, I
Love
have unfortunately missed your graduation speech, so I'm not sure about your journey. Maybe let's start at the very beginning. How did you hear about Time to start with?
it. Yeah, sure. So I first heard about Time, it would have been back in 2016. It was around the time of the AFTA's National Travel Industry Awards. So I sort of had heard about it a little bit. And then sort of that night, someone sort of shoved a flyer in my face and went, "Oh, you should do this. This would be really good for you." And I had a few peers in the industry in similar positions to me at the time who had also taken part in Time or had sort of started it recently. And then sort of within the next year or so, sort of watching their journeys and just really seeing how it helped them with a bit of a mindset shift and just really helped them develop professionally. That's kind of when I first became aware of it. So it was on my radar for quite, not to use the terrible pun, but for quite some time to actually do the Time program. But at that particular point, when I sort of first knew about it and thought, oh, this could be really good for me, I was at a point where I was about to head overseas within the next sort of 12 months. So I thought, look, I'll put this on the one day thing. It was only sort of when I got back from overseas, it was about sort of 6 months before the pandemic kicked off. So I was sort of settling back in, hadn't lived in Melbourne for many, many years. So was sort of adjusting to all that new role within a new company. So I sort of flagged it with my boss at that point. Look, I'd really love to do this mentorship program. It's been on my radar for a while. And then at that point it was, I was new at the company, so they kind of wanted me to get settled in, I guess, first, which is fair enough. And then, yeah, 6 months later, COVID hit. So, yeah, we all know what that was about. So, look, it wasn't sort of until, yeah, last year, I think, as definitely Melbourne was opening back up, but things were sort of starting to get a bit more normal, that I guess I was feeling really quiet, as I'm sure many people were, particularly Victorians, but I was feeling really quite raw, really, I guess, questioning what was happening with the industry, whether there was a future for me in it, and what that future might look like. And so with that, I guess it was the perfect timing. I just went to my boss and said, look, I've signed up for Time. I want to do this. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So that was basically it. So yeah, so and that was so I became part of the program that started in late October. 20, what are we up to now? 23. So it was in, yeah, 2022, and I've just graduated with the cohort at the group June graduation up in Sydney. So that's kind of my, I mean, how I got into Time, I guess. It's probably a bit more long-winded than you were after, but that's how I first heard of Time
Not at all.
and
And I
got to
appreciate it
where we
that you
are.
shared it, that you shared it so detailed. So from my understanding, your motivation to join Time was kind of to get clarity around the industry in general and potentially your general career pathway, or it was kind
Yeah,
of the
pretty
things you wanted to get
much.
out of it.
Yeah, that was my main thing. And I mean, you can listen to a few of the other interviews I know that you've done. Like I listened to the one with Holly Velardo, who was also in my particular intake. I listened to yours with her just the other week. And I think even her speech at the graduation, as I know you were there, you can attest to. She went into it with very, very clear goals about how she wanted to grow her business and what she wanted to do. I obviously went in with a very sort of different approach coming from the wholesale side of things and working for other people, as opposed to, in her case, you know, working for herself. So that's, I think, what's quite nice about the program as well. As long as you're clear on sort of what you want to get out of it and express that well within the expression of interest, I found that the Time board and committee really take that on board and actually try and match you appropriately so that, you know, you can actually work on what you want to work on. So, yeah, I really like that. But that was definitely the case for me. Kind of what I was hoping for was, I guess, a bit more clarity, a bit more direction, and just probably a bit more hope, in all honesty, because I was certainly feeling quite raw at that point. And, yeah, working with my mentor, David, really, really helped me, I guess. It was a big mindset shift and a bit of a reset for me. So, yeah,
How was the first get-together with David? Did you meet in person? Was it online, or how was that?
Look, we were a little bit slow to start, in all honesty. David was overseas during the induction. I flew all the way to Sydney for the induction, knowing he wasn't going to be there because he was overseas, which was all fine. But then my flight got in late and I missed the whole thing. He was overseas, and then he got really, really sick while he was overseas as well. So it was sort of this, you know, series of errors, I guess. So we were a little bit slow to finally actually start and meet up. We met up at a cafe sort of, you know, not too far from where we both lived in Melbourne. It was really valuable for me having someone that I could, you know, actually go see in person. That was really nice, I guess, particularly after being on phones and screens all day. It was, yeah, really, really good to be able to do the one-on-one in person. But in all honesty, it was a little bit of a rougher start. I think, like anything, it's sort of like dating. You know, someone said, oh, you should meet this person, and you meet them, but you're not really sure. I guess you're trying to figure out what they're about, and here you are being told, oh, there's this big matchmaking process and we take a lot into account, and, you know, like, it's not just we've chucked two people together who happen to be in Melbourne. Like, we've really put a lot of effort into this, and you're sort of sitting there trying to figure this other person out and sort of questioning, you know, is this the right match? Like, is this all just a bit of BS? I'm not sure. So, look, David was lovely. He's the managing director of UniGlobe. He's also one of the founding members of the
Entourage
Travel Group as well. Yes, thank you. I had a moment where I went, oh God, don't call it the wrong thing. So look, he just has this incredible wealth and experience, like a whole range of it from his many years in the industry doing many different things. So I think first time I met him, I was a little bit, I guess, going, oh my God, I'm a little bit overwhelmed. Here I am, you know, meeting this managing director who's done all these amazing things, and here I am sitting here basically saying the reason I'm doing time is because I'm feeling really stuck. How am I supposed to bring that up and still sound professional, you know? Like, this is really overwhelming. And then I guess David, really chatty guy, once you get him going, he just proceeded to tell me all this stuff about all these things he'd done. And he was just talking and talking and talking. And I think by our second or maybe third session, I sort of hit a bit of a point where I was like, this is all great, David, but, you know, when can we talk about me? Which then he could read that pretty well. He's not a stupid man by any means. He's obviously pretty emotionally intelligent. So I think it was coming out of maybe it was our third or fourth session, but he stopped and he said to me, just as we were leaving, he goes, okay, so did you feel like you got something out of this one? So yeah, that was how it all started for us, I guess.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
I love it.
I really appreciate that you talk about that, because I remember, you obviously, I was there at your graduation and at the meeting before with the other mentees, and some of them, you know, were graduating on the same day as you. And I really appreciate the fact that you're saying that, like, you talk about that dating aspect, right? Where you don't really know what you're gonna get on the first day you meet, and that there's a bit of that apprehension. And I think that there was a few mentees there that had the same feeling. And I can say that it was the same thing for me. I'm not sure about Timo, but, you know, he's a lot more confident than me, so it would probably be a very different experience. But I appreciate that you actually share that, because there's probably other people that want to join the program today that are questioning about that as well, that, you know, like, when they go into that very first meeting with the mentor, they're probably a little bit scared about it. And but how did your relationship develop, you know, throughout the program?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's sort of a hard one, right? Because you do this with a lot of confidentiality in mind, and you have outlined sort of what you want to achieve. And obviously, you know, it feels a bit funny sort of keep referring back to the episode you did with Holly, but I think, you know, hers really stood out for me because her and Matt's relationship was very, and kind of how goal focused she was and how clear she was on what she wanted to achieve was very different to what I went into it with. Like, I was probably a lot more vague, a bit more lost, you know, with what I wanted to do. So kind of what me and David were trying to work through was very just different. The whole relationship and the whole approach to it was different. As it sort of progressed, I guess, it was a lot of unpacking, a lot of, you know, David sharing things, but then also asking me hard questions. And a lot of it came down to, you know, ultimately, these are the questions that I came to the program for. These are the challenging questions that I couldn't sort of unpack just sitting in my room thinking of it by myself. But he was really good in the way he listened and prompted and used examples from his own experience. And I guess sort of as it progressed, you know, just different things would come up. He'd set me different tasks that he thought would sort of help with various things. And it just sort of became this really natural progression of, okay, well, I've had this idea. What do you think? And, you know, we had this bit of a joke where even when we were talking about, you know, broadening my network and things like that and talking to people, you know, like, how do you start? What do you talk about? And just the importance of having a network, the big thing about it is it's just having those people you can check in with every so often and just kind of get that reality check and a bit of a sounding board and just go, hey, I've had this crazy idea. Is this a good idea? You know, is it a good idea or am I just a little bit insane? Am I completely off track with this? And that's, I guess, you know, sort of what I got out of it as we went along. It was just David was really that person for me that I could just check in and go, you know, am I on the right track or is this completely off? Is this bonkers? And what it was really good for me as well. I'd sort of had the advice early on, and I think they mentioned this in the induction, was, you know, make sure you've got clear idea of what you want to achieve, but make sure as well you don't lose the time. Like, as much as it seems like at the start, you know, 6 months, 2 hours every fortnight or however you want to format it with your mentor, that's kind of the idea, right? And it seems like a lot of time, but as things sort of pick up, it does take a while to get into. And as things do sort of progress, you find that time goes really, really quickly. So I think you do have to be careful to sort of stay on track as well. Very much unlike this conversation where I'm going on many tangents.
No, you're fine, actually.
Not at all.
Yeah, but you notice the time does go quickly. And I think, you know, a few things happened personally for me and with public holidays and Christmas and Easter and all these things in the way and a bit of travel on both mine and David's parts, which meant we actually ended up sort of completing the program in a bit of a longer time frame that was intended. It did end up being, you know, longer than that sort of 6 months. But the timing of it actually just was so opportune because there were a few challenges I was facing in the workplace right towards the end of the program. It was getting to this really sort of crucial point, and it was just so nice to have David there to be able to go, okay, this has happened this week, you know, how do I deal with it sort of thing. So, yeah, it was great. The whole experience was really interesting in that respect.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I just want to pick up on something that you said.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not sure if you've seen on the Time LinkedIn group or page or account the survey for intro and extroverts.
Yes.
Because on the last podcast, it hasn't been published yet, we had a bit of a discussion that, interesting enough, a lot of people in travel, while being very outgoing and very, you know, on the presenting mode all the time, seem to be extroverts, but are actually introverts. So Arno is obviously very clearly an introvert. I'm much more an introvert than Arno even. And you just spoke about, you know, you learned what to talk about at networking functions, how to start the conversation. Now, please, from, I would assume you're an extrovert, just from how I perceive you, correct me if I'm wrong. From an extrovert to two introverts, one being in French, the other one being, you know, old, 40 plus in German. How do we start a good conversation?
Oh, that's a big question. Look, funny you say that, actually, because I think I realized during COVID that I'm actually much more extroverted than I thought, but I'm very close to that middle line of introvert, extrovert. I'm in a very extroverted role, and yet, funnily enough, I'm probably slightly more introverted. I'm just an extroverted introvert. But look, I think the biggest thing, I think starting a conversation, you just start somewhere. You just start. You know, I think I went into it going, okay, I want this list of questions that I want to ask David to pick his brain throughout this. But at the end of the day, no matter who you're sitting in front of, no matter, you know, what your mentor has done and, you know, how impressive you might, you know, deem them to be initially and how that can be a little bit intimidating, I guess. David was very clear from the start. He's like, don't worry about that. I'm a person. I'm just a person who's done some stuff. Yeah, right. Just a person who's done some stuff. And it's the same in any walk of life, right? Like at the end of the day, you're sitting across from just another person. You know, they've got their own problems. They've got personal stuff going on. You know, COVID was a shared experience for many that, you know, was quite unique in itself. I think just start somewhere, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, helpful advice.
That's amazing.
That's how I approach conversations. Yeah. People are just people, quite
exactly.
simply.
And that's really, really good. All the things that you've spoken to. Like, okay, you said that you think that you went on a tangent a little bit, but I don't think so. I think that you've unpacked a lot of stuff, and then you've basically answered a lot of questions that a lot of mentees, when they want to be part of this program, you know, asking themselves, and you know, in terms of fears that they might have, and I think that you've addressed a lot of them. So that was good. Thank you.
Well, thank you. What a compliment. That wasn't a tangent. I love that.
No, it wasn't. You know, like you basically, like Timo and I are here listening to you, and basically all the questions that we would have asked, you know, other people coming on the podcast, you basically answered all of them, and I think it's great. So, you know, like, yeah, I need to thank you for this, because it was really good.
So you don't have to ask your questions now. We're done. We should wrap up or go home.
You wish. You're not there
any
yet.
More questions. Don't you worry.
Hit me with the next ones. What else is next? What do you want to know?
I want to know, actually, how have you changed before compared to after the program? What do you do differently on your day-to-day professional life now?
Oh, yeah, look. Yeah. Again, that comes down to a lot, okay. Basically. Look, I mean, and this is the thing. It was hard for me writing my expression of interest, because I was going from this position, as I sort of mentioned, of just feeling really stuck and going, I want to progress, but I don't know how to do it. I know I need to increase my network, but I don't know how to do it. I've been stuck inside for a few years. I feel like I'm, you know, losing my mind a little bit. Like, basically, where do I go from here? Whereas, again, Holly was going, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to achieve. So really, really sort of different approaches, right? I sort of also wrote in my expression of interest that I sort of knew vaguely these were the things I wanted to get a bit more clarity on and a bit more direction on. But I also just knew that there would be more I would take out of the program and things I would learn or shifts I would make that I would not be able to define at that particular point. Like, they would be things that came up as you just learn from talking to someone with that much experience, right? And that was why I was just, you know, absolutely stoked that I had someone in David's position with that much experience and that much maturity. Because to be able to pick his brain and, you know, really draw from that just wealth of experience was just incredible for me. So probably the overarching thing, and I did mention this in my speech, the overarching thing I got, which was really valuable for me, was a mindset shift, quite simply. And I think David was very smart. He saw from very early on that that was something I needed. Just getting to a lot more of a positive position where I could just really look at the industry and look at my position in it moving forward and see challenges as opportunities, and just see everything a bit more positively. Mm-hmm. That was huge for me. I sort of knew I needed it, but I couldn't have told you that when I started the program. I deep down I knew it, but I couldn't have named it. And that mindset shift, that was the most valuable thing for me. And I don't know whether David was really clear that that's what he was doing at the start. He kept saying to me along the way, oh, don't worry, there's reasons I'm getting you to do this. Or, you know, I think I know why they've matched us up. And, yeah, I can see qualities in you. And then I go, well, what are they? And he wouldn't tell me. He's like, I want you to figure them out yourself. It's like, damn you. But, yeah, I, like, look, whether he was, I'm sure he's a very smart man. He probably was very conscious that's exactly what he was doing. But that was, he obviously saw that that's what I needed the most. everything else after that would just start opening up doors. And that was the most valuable thing I got out of it, was the mindset shift, yeah, for sure.
Totally. Love that. So with your new mindset, if you now look at the industry, obviously the environment has changed over the last 8 months when you did the program, as well as you.
Yeah.
What are the new trends that you kind of observe in the industry? What's the market demand? What does challenge you in business?
Yeah, so I mean, just from where we're standing with the company I work for, travel's back. We've all known that for quite some time. It might look slightly different. The booking trends are probably, you know, not necessarily back to where they were pre-pandemic as yet, but we all know the business is there. What's really exciting probably for the company I'm working for at the moment is that we're traditionally with, you know, coach touring and river cruising, you need a bit longer lead in time. You can't necessarily do as much with last minute bookings. So for the Australian market, it's really important we have that lead in time. So it's nice to, I guess, see some of those trends go slightly back to where they were pre-pandemic, which we've started seeing a shift to. Like, we are seeing the shift to people starting to plan for 2024 now and actually starting to book, which is really exciting. So look, that's probably the biggest thing I've seen. Yeah, from my experience, without obviously giving too much away. Sorry, was there a second part of that question I missed, Timo?
The challenges in business, but I think you kind of explained them with the changing booking window and obviously adjusting to that, I would assume.
Yeah, look, yeah, that's always there. I think the other challenges for where we're standing, I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be the fact that we've lost so many people out of the industry, right? There's a lot of agencies that have closed up. There's so much work, but there's so few experienced staff. That's definitely a challenge, but it's a really great challenge, I guess, great problem to have, because it means there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of bookings which can be made. So as much as for a lot of agents, it is really, really tough and continues to be so. Another shift I've seen is it's not just, I guess, me with that mindset shift and being a bit more positive. I'm definitely noticing a lot of our trade partners are a lot more positive and a lot more excited now as well. You can see that shift in everyone down in Victoria, that's for sure. So still challenging, but yeah, it's travels back, and I guess it's exciting. A lot of people are finally remembering why they're in the industry.
Yeah. How do you make out of that busy environment that we're all in at the moment, especially since, you know, the last lockdown ended? Didn't get less busy. How do you make time for time? Because I know when I hear a lot, oh, I don't have time for time, I'm too busy, I have whatever I have to feed my cat, I have to do my hair.
Everything, to do your hair. We keep talking about hair today. For those who are listening, we had a whole conversation about Arno's hair just before we actually started recording.
I had a haircut today. So, no one said anything. Like, really?
Oh. And it's great, Arno. But, look, it's like anything, right? You have to decide what you want to prioritize. And for me, it was, I need to prioritize my own professional development. And I won't have these opportunities to do it otherwise. So I just, quite frankly, decided it was a priority. I think that's all it is, really. You find you make the time, and it's never going to be the perfect time. Everyone always has other commitments. You know, in my particular circumstance, I had a lot of things in my personal life come up during the program, which did mean, unfortunately, you know, David and I couldn't get as much consistency with the flow of our meetings. Like, there was a period there where we sort of didn't meet up for almost a month, just because there was all this other stuff that neither of us could control going on. So yeah, that was, you know, difficult, but at the end of the day, we were just so determined, you know, that we were going to do these sessions and do the program, that you make it work. If it's something you really want to do, you can always find time for it.
Love that, and fully
I'm
agree.
Glad that you're
fully
highlighting agree. That it's not rigid, it's adaptable. It also really adapts to the professional commitments that both the mentor and the mentee have, and somehow you make it work, right? And
you do,
And I think that for some people that are listening, that again, you know, that probably would see that as an obstacle to join the program, you know, it can be in their own time, right? It doesn't have to be, like you say, 6 months with a regular schedule, which is like every week or every 2 weeks and that amount of hours. And, you know, it flows a little bit better than that.
Yeah, you make it work based on what works for you and your mentor, right? And I think that's a really important part as well. Like, you invest quite a bit to do this program a lot of the time. I know many people who've self-funded it, but also your mentors are giving up their own time.
That's
And these
right.
are often really, high up industry people with a lot of other commitments. So for them to be able to, volunteer their time to be part of this and be of such high quality and to be able to give their own time, like, of course you can find time in your own schedule if it's something you want to do.
Have you had much
Yeah,
time to
that.
participate in the networking events? I know that you were there at your graduation in Sydney, so I know that you were there at that event, but what about the ones in Melbourne? Have you been able to check them out? And yes?
Yes. Yeah. So just prior to the program, Intrepid hosted one that, of course, the beautiful
Yes.
Ingrid organized last year, and that was when I was sort of considering is now the right time
Okay.
for me to do it. So I went along to that one and immediately it was a yes, of
Good.
course, this is the time to do time. But yeah, since the program, I've been to all the Melbourne events, which have been
Good.
fantastic. Ingrid does an incredible job trying to foster a bit of a community down here because we don't, we, you know, I've lived in Sydney, lived and worked and traveled in both Sydney and Melbourne now, and it's completely different. Like a lot of head offices are in Sydney, and it can be sort of hard, even though, yes, okay, Melbourne's a major city, and I know it's easier here than it is in, your Brisbane's, your Adelaide's, your Perth's, your things like that. But it's still, we don't necessarily get the same exposure down here to that networking. And I just think it really is worth noting. Ingrid does an incredible job with what she tries to do down here. And anyone who is listening to this, I would strongly encourage you, whether you're a mentor, mentee, even considering doing the program, please come along to the first graduation in Melbourne event she's putting on the 4th of September. It will be fantastic, and I know she's putting a lot of work.
Yes,
So please come along.
you're
We can have a
doing really
chat.
well. A shout
That's
out
actually
to Ingrid.
that was actually a project. Absolutely, it was actually a project 2 years in the making. I still remember the committee meeting
Yeah.
when Ingrid said, "I want to have a graduation ceremony in Melbourne,"
She's
and we
finally
said,
getting it.
"Yay!"
She's finally getting it. So
Yeah,
happy
she
for
does
her.
an incredible
Absolutely,
job. She does an
she
incredible job
does.
and puts in so much effort. So it's very much appreciated.
Look, it's a bit of a tradition that we talk about fashion on this podcast as well. I don't even know. I literally and seriously, I don't even know why that came up. It must have come with Arnaud joining at some stage, and suddenly everyone talks about fashion. Don't know why. Anyhow, so the question for you, which just testing your fashion knowledge here, would you be
Right.
able to recognize the brand that Arnaud is wearing today as a beautiful royal navy blue jumper?
No, I would have no idea.
Okay. I know. Do you
Yep.
want to reveal that as a French person, you wear a German brand? Would you like to share
Oh,
that
I
with the
see.
world?
I
Yeah, I
see.
mean it's a German brand, but I bought it in the flagship store in Paris on the Champs-Élysées, of course.
Well, still an export, my friend.
Still
Still
an
an
export.
export. So this has nothing to do with the fashion. Really, you're just pitching your nationalities against each other. Is that what we're doing
Not
here?
at all. Not at
Yeah.
all.
Nothing like a bit of, gentle rivalry
Yeah, I
there.
mean, look, I was trying to match
Who
with Maddie's
said
beautiful
it's
painting next to
gentle?
me, so
Yeah.
I blended.
I was trying to be nice, Timo. I was trying to be nice.
Got it, got it. No problem at all. But we do have an actual traditional topic here as well, which is Arnold's favorite question. So Arnold, I'm thinking now it's time
It's
for you
so for
to
me to
ask
ask
it.
that question. Look, it's been a little bit of a tradition where we ask people to, Timo labels that as a dark secret. But we want to know something, about you that not everyone knows.
Oh, the first
Maybe
thing that comes to mind. No, go on.
Oh, I mean,
I was just trying to encourage Arnaud to share one of his dark
Yeah,
secrets to
go on,
inspire
Arno. Yeah,
you.
you
Oh, I mean,
start.
look, I've got a lot of dark secrets. The one that I will share today on the podcast is that I used to work in commercial television when I lived in France. And yeah, I mean, not a lot of people know about that. I used to be a producer on a few talk shows that were broadcast on national commercial television stations. And I've met a few celebrities in my time. That's my dark secret, if that helps.
That's your dark secret. I don't know if that's a really dark
Oh, I
one.
mean, look, I'm not going to say all the things that happened there, but yeah, that's where I'll stay.
Oh, look, the first thing that came to mind, and I thought, oh, should I share this one? But it's in my head now, and I've started talking, so I might as well. Look, I wouldn't say it's dark by any means, but it is ridiculous, and I'm probably going to regret sharing it. Something that came to mind that not everyone knows, I'm actually incredibly uncoordinated.
Okay.
I lived in Canada for a couple of
Yes.
years. I worked in a retail job at Big White Ski Resort just a few years before COVID. And given my uncoordinated nature and someone's exceptional cleaning skills, while I was working, I actually ran into a glass door, like full-fledged ran into a glass door, face planted, left, the shape of my face on this very clean door. The best bit was I'd met all my colleagues about a week beforehand, and most of them were standing in the room on the other side of the glass door. It was hilarious. Because we were on a ski resort as well, any workplace incidences that happen, you have to call ski patrol and document it. It's like your workplace health and safety. So from that point, I had to go sit in my new boss's office with a plastic bag full of snow on my face with a very swollen lip while we waited for ski patrol to come and check whether I'd broken a tooth. So there you go, dark secret. I'm incredibly
is
uncoordinated.
awesome. I thought you were going to say that you like related to Kylie Minogue, and that's what I was expecting, but you know,
No, no,
it's okay.
What's
nope.
with all
Well,
the
don't
Kylie Minogue
know.
talk today? Like, literally, what's
I'm
going
very
on
much into
there?
Kylie at the moment. I don't know why.
Oh,
Going
who
through
would
a
have thought
phase.
so? Maybe you
Tim.
can send us your TikTok of her newest Padam thing.
Timo, what's your dark secret?
My dark secret is very easy. I'm a very public person, despite being an introvert. So there's no real secret as such. Let
Oh, wow.
me. Oh yes, so this is actually not a secret. It was actually a very descriptive story for my characters. On my very first day at primary school. So in Germany, when you're like nearly six, you go to primary school, obviously, and your parents drop you there usually, and you get like presents and blah blah blah. And
Wow.
then you have your first class, the parents leave, and you obviously sit in there. And I was bored AF. And at some stage, I told the teacher she can call me if she actually does something that's valuable. And then I left and went home.
Vicious.
That is awesome.
What, you were just sitting there doing like
So there you go.
silly
That's a dark secret.
writing exercises? And I just thought, like, seriously, I'm not wasting my time here.
We've really covered a range of non-related time things today, haven't
Yeah,
we?
exactly, you know.
We
Kylie
did, we
Minogue,
did.
glass doors, and teachers that we don't like. So,
I think
yeah,
we've done very
I
well. Well, thank you
think
so
we've
much
covered
for your
quite a
time,
lot.
also learned that David was your shrink, that he made sure that you were not insane.
Yes.
He told you to snap out of
Yes.
it, which is basically my reference to Cher now, after Kylie Minogue.
Let's not
Yeah,
forget Arnaud
you've
got a
summed it up
haircut.
well.
Yeah, Anna
Haircut.
got a haircut. We've learned so many things, haven't we? No, it's true. Look,
Incredible.
I can't speak more highly of David. He was a fantastic mentor. I was incredibly lucky to be matched with him. And yeah, I know I said it at the graduation, but I'm so appreciative of Penny and all the board and committee and the work they do with this program because, it's something that people like me just simply in the industry wouldn't have exposure to otherwise. So yeah, really thrilled to have been able to do it. Thrilled for the amount of time and energy that, David put in. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Can't speak of him highly enough. And very appreciative as well to be part of the great network and see you all at the networking functions in Melbourne moving forward.
Yes.
You may also come back to Sydney. You're still welcome. Don't you worry.
Thanks. A bit too pricey for me.
Oh, well, you sit at the source of discounted travel, so you should have an
True, true that.
opportunity to make it affordable. Anyhow, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it that you take the time out of your busy schedule and talk to us so detailed and honest about your
Thank
experience
you.
there. Really, really
Appreciate
appreciate
it.
that. Awesome. I hope I see you soon in person as
Yes.
well. I missed your graduation speech, but doesn't mean we can't have a drink together, right?
True that, true that.
Awesome.
See you down
All
in
right.
Melbourne, Timo.
Yeah, look, I'm actually every now and then I'm travel to Melbourne. I'll let you know when I'm around for sure.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
For sure. I know, thank you for making an announcement today as in a welcome that was kind of in line with what a guest actually does in their life. That was
For
amazing to
once.
see.
Thank you.
For once.
It's great.
Only upwards from here, right? All right, guys, thank you so much.
See
Have
you.
a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.